Father in heaven, how grateful we are to be able to be here today, Father, to worship you. And we know, Lord, that you are the one that is sovereign over all, governs every aspect of our lives and the lives of every individual on this earth. But Lord, we know the most important thing that we can do as individuals who you have created is to acknowledge you as our sovereign, our Lord and Savior, the one that, and the only one that can provide a way of salvation. And Lord, especially as we see our world imploding around us, Father, we just look forward to that day when you will return, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where there will be complete justice upon this earth as you reign in the holy city of Jerusalem. And Father, we're grateful for this. And Father, we ask that you might bless both David and Loredana this morning for the fellowship that they have already received, are receiving, and will receive. And Lord, we just ask that his message, not only the message of the hour and the sermon that follows, but also this morning, Father, will be a blessing to many in this room this morning. And Father, we ask these things not because we deserve them, but because you are a good and gracious Father, and we know that you hear our prayers. We're thankful for all of this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We might need that microphone in a little bit when Loredana speaks. Oh, for okay, that's great.
We have a microphone at the back.
Okay, that's fine. Well, it's great to be with you. It's a privilege to be back. And we thank the Lord for this opportunity. We thank the Lord for your church, for your faithfulness. It's a little bit, fix me up. Are we doing better now? Can you hear me now? It's good to be with you, and we're grateful for the opportunity of sharing with you again what the Lord is doing in Rome. And one of the things I want to start out with is telling you that God does not need superheroes to serve him. I've had the privilege to serve God in Italy or in ministries that work in Italy for now for 35 years, and I'm proof that you don't need superheroes or incredibly smart people. You just have to have people that are willing to serve God. We were here 2 years ago. I don't know how many of you remember when we were here 2 years ago. And some of you remember my report on my stay in the hospital. I think that stuck in people's head more than our ministry. And I hope you prayed that we would never have to go to a hospital again. And we haven't had to. But it was right after we started our church plant in the northern part of the city of Rome. And we went through some difficult times right from the beginning. The other missionary that I was supposed to co-pastor with failed morally and had to leave the ministry. And there was another missionary couple that worked with us, and within a couple weeks after we went back, they asked to talk to us, so we sat down with them, and they said, we're leaving, and we're leaving as soon as we can. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves working there all by ourselves. And I call it the impossible task. I've been, like I said, in missions for many, many years, and one of the things I've always advised missionaries, and when I was director of a mission, I would not allow any missionary to go start a church plant by themselves, because I would say it's too hard to start and to do a church plant as all by yourself as a missionary couple. And all of a sudden we found ourselves doing a church plant all by ourselves. And soon after that, we found ourselves in an impossible situation. the pandemic started and Italy was shut down. Everybody was confused. And when you're trying to witness to people and reach out with the gospel, when they want to even get close to you, you know, you look at them. And we were closed in our homes for around 4 months. It gets to be an impossible situation to start a church. And then we were already in the impossible country. Italy's been considered the graveyard of missionaries. Missionaries go to Italy, and 90% of the missionaries that go to Italy quit within 4 years and never go back. And so here we are, an impossible task, an impossible situation, the impossible country, and with an impossible mission. Because we have to speak and talk to dead people. The Bible says that every person that doesn't know Christ is dead. And there we are, trying to start a church in an impossible situation. But although we have an impossible job to do, it is very simple what God has called us to do. Matthew 28, I'd like to read to you some verses, says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The verses are pretty clear. There's a command. And it says, go therefore and make disciples. And the word there is not something that is commanding you to start something. You know, like say, okay, now this morning, go and make disciples. The way it's worded in the Greek is, as you go, make disciples. So the command is for all of us that as we live life, we are supposed to make disciples. As we live our lives, our normal lives, whatever job you do, if you're in school, if you have a job, if you're retired, as you go through life, we have to serve the Lord. And we have to make disciples. We have to talk to people and encourage them to become followers of Jesus. We live in a country where everybody thinks they are Christian. You know, if you walk up to a person, you say, are you a Christian? They stare at you and they say, what do you think I am, an animal? Because their idea is that if you're a human being in Italy, you're a Christian. You were baptized as a baby, and the Catholic Church teaches that there is no other way by which a person can become a Christian. So in their thinking, they're all Christians. And so this verse is a lot clearer than just saying, you know, make Christians or make people that think they're Christians. It says to make disciples. Help them become followers of Jesus. Obviously, they have to get saved first. But a follower of Jesus is not a person that was baptized when they were a little baby. They're people that follow Jesus. And in Italy, I would say that 90% of the people that we talk to have never held a Bible in their hand. How can you be a follower of Jesus if you have no clue, no idea of what Jesus said? How can you be a follower of Jesus if you don't know what God wants from your life? And so, there we are in Italy, asking God to allow us to talk to people, to make friends, to have contacts, so that we can explain to them what a Christian really is and explain to them what it means to become a follower of Jesus in a country where everybody thinks they're a Christian. And then it goes on and says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Well, in Italy, everybody's been baptized. Every baby is baptized. So they certainly don't think that you need to be baptized. They have no clue what true baptism is, and we have the privilege of talking to them. And our church is in October is going to be 4 years old, and we've had baptisms every year, and it's been a privilege to see people that have been baptized before as little babies now be baptized according to Scripture. And then it says, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And that's a hard and long task, because teaching everything that God has taught them, that has taught us and wants us to do, is a difficult task because it takes a long time. And it's interesting that when people come in contact with the gospel, even those that get saved really don't know anything about the Bible. They think that phrases like God helps those who help themselves is biblical. I hope nobody said, I thought it was in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But, you know, they have ideas what the Bible says, but they have no clue. They've never read it. Nobody has ever explained it to them. And so it's a long project. The incredible part, like I said, that we're not adequate to do our job. We're in the middle of an impossible task. But the verse says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we're not doing this alone. Even though I said that Loredana and I are alone in this church plant, we're not alone, because the Lord is with us. Jesus is with us. And this task has no end until our life ends. It says, I will be with you till the end of the age. And so we know that we have to keep on going till the end of the age. Even if a lot of people think that, you know, because of the pandemic, we were at the end of the age. But we're still alive, and we still have a job to do. And so we minister there, and we need God's help. And that's where your part is so important. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand if you prayed for us or not, but your prayers are vital for us, because we're doing an impossible spiritual work and we need your prayers. And God has blessed us, and we have to thank you for that. Our little church is called Vita nella Grazia, Life in Grace. It's a small church plant with around 40 people. People from different nations, different many experiences. We have little children all the way to older people. Different education, different needs. But at the end of the day, what they need is to be instructed in the Word of God. And I have the privilege right now of teaching and preaching through the book of Ephesians. And I just finished teaching verse 6 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I want to read it to you because I think it's got some important truths for us. It says, starting in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, therefore I, Paul is speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there's one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And this verse is so clear about the fact that God is building his church, because it talks about seven aspects that unite us as Christians, and they're all supernatural. There's none of them can be produced by us. We can't produce them in our own life if we want them, and we can't produce them in somebody else's life. They're all supernatural. The fact that we have one body. We are placed in one body, but God does it. We have one spirit, and that one spirit comes from God. We have one hope, and that hope is based on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't depend on us. We have one Lord, and he becomes our Lord only if God opens our eyes to the fact, to the truth of the Word of God, to the truth of the gospel. We have one faith, and the Ephesians tells us that the faith is a gift of God. One baptism, and baptism speaks about what has happened in our life. Baptism is only an exterior demonstration of something that God has already done in us. And we have one God and Father, and we know that he becomes our Father when we believe in Jesus Christ. So we have the privilege of serving people and minister to people in which God is working. And we know that everyone that he brings to our little church is a person that's been transformed by God. Our job is to teach them and to preserve the unity. That's what these verses say. It says that we are supposed to preserve the unity in the Spirit. And God produces that unity, but we have to protect it. And so much of our job is to help these young believers to be united, to continue to walk the way they should walk, and to learn how to get along. And in spite of the fact that we're a small group, sometimes differences and opinions are much more obvious. And, you know, every Sunday, everybody knows if somebody doesn't show up for church because there's only a small group. But we're there asking God to give us wisdom on how to help these people continue to grow and to stay united. And I'm going to say that Loredana has a greater job than I do in this, because the problem of our church is the women. No, I'm joking. But we have many more women than we have men in our church. We have quite a few women that their husbands are not saved. And so she has a great responsibility. She'll come in a minute to tell you about her ministry. But we're very grateful for this opportunity to minister. When the pandemic hit, before the pandemic, we were meeting in a ballet studio. And I loved that ballet studio because it had mirrors on all sides of the place where we met. And so even though we were a small group, it looked like there was double the people. But during the pandemic, that ballet studio went belly up. And so they shut down, and we started looking for a new place. And the government was allowing people to go out of their homes again, and started looking. And I found a hotel that I didn't even know it existed. Basically across the street from where I live. It's in a little road, and it's a former convent that they turned into a hotel. And their main meeting room is their old chapel. So it's a beautiful place to meet. It looks more churchy than the ballet studio. And it even has verses on the top in Latin, and they're biblical. No images. We don't have any statues of Mary or anything. They've taken all those down. But it's a wonderful place to meet. And in a time of pandemic, we pay every Sunday when we meet. So if for some reason they don't allow people to go out of their homes for a couple of weeks, we don't have to pay. So that's been a blessing. And it's been a blessing to see, after around 4 months of meeting via Facebook or Zoom, that everybody returned to our church. Only one lady that has some physical problems has started returning just a few weeks ago. But we've been truly blessed. And the hotel cleans up the place for us, sanitizes everything, and we are in great shape. And it's interesting enough that many churches in Italy, even the evangelical churches, are still in fear of the pandemic. Some haven't even opened yet. And some don't, you know, are afraid to have everybody come so people don't go to church every Sunday. And that has caused us to have to get involved in doing live, how are you called, live streaming of the service. And so we've had to learn how to do that. And now we have people that follow our services from different parts of Italy, and even in towns where they have no churches, and so that they can follow a church. And that's something that the pandemic forced us to do. My job is to preach faithfully. Like I said, I'm preaching through Ephesians on Sundays and teaching Luke on our Bible study. And it's interesting. We have some people that have joined our church that have been going to church for 40 years, even in evangelical churches, and they've never heard expository preaching. They've never heard somebody teach verse by verse. And they're surprised and excited. And as time goes by, they get more excited. And lately, more people have started to come up to me and say, you know, we really love this kind of teaching. We really love the way the Word of God is taught. And Loredana, like I said, has an important job because there's so many women in our church. And I'm going to ask her to come up front and tell us. She's not going to be preaching. She's just going to be reporting. And I think she's going to need a microphone, or do I have to just be real close to her like this? But you'll love her accent. She does.
I'll try to speak slowly so that you can understand me, because I need my words.
Can you hear, or does she need that microphone? The microphone is coming.
Well, first of all, we look forward to times like these because we really cherish the fellowship. And in times like this, we can actually share also of the great things that God has done for us. And therefore, we are so glad, like the psalmist said in Psalm 126. So it's good to be here after 2 years where so much has happened for all of us with the pandemic. I have definitely the blessing and the important job, first and foremost, to actually be a suitable helper. That's my biggest concern as he pastors the church and leads our church. And it's been a blessing to be under his leadership, not only as a wife, but also belonging to the church that the Lord has blessed us with, that we can minister in. I have the greatest blessing to lead the women's ministry and teach them and disciple the women. As David said, we are alone, so there is not much other choice. It's me. But which has been an amazing, amazing blessing in my life, because I'm the one who's gaining the most. Whoever teaches knows how much we gain from the studying in order to share with others. So that's my greatest blessing. And it's also my greatest joy and privilege to be able to pour and walk alongside the women that I minister to. And as David said, since the pandemic, Zoom has been one of the greatest tools that has been extremely valuable to continue to meet and continue our Bible studies. And actually, Zoom has proved to be the best tools we could actually use and continue to use, even though the restrictions are low down, because many more people can actually attend regularly. And we could even embrace in the women's ministry, even women that don't have a women's ministry or a Bible study to attend, the same for the Bible study, weekly Bible study that David teaches. Because as David said already, several churches haven't started meeting up. So believers have found themselves alone and in a solitary situation, so they can actually be encouraged by our fellowship and participate to our Bible study. It's been also my privilege. What I do with the women is not only to study We went through the book of Proverbs the entire year last year, and I'm about to start a new series. But I try to, and my effort is to put in their hands resources that can encourage them and follow the theme that we are studying. And here you are used to go to your bookshelf, grab a book, and have those resources available. Well, the majority of those resources are not available in Italian. So my effort is actually to translate that material in Italian. Sometimes I make booklets, sometimes are just devotional, sometimes it's just a collection. But I try to give them as much as I can in order for them to have something to meditate on by themselves. And I also train, we have now two women, our church is only 4 years old, so actually to build the ministries and have workers that can help us takes some time. But after 4 years, I'm so glad to have now two women that have come along in the ministry with the kids that I'm training. They are the teachers, but I'm training them through a curriculum that will last the entire year. And it's been my blessing to see them growing in this ministry and also see the kids' ministry growing. I also minister to the young ones, the young teenagers, the girls, and it's been so encouraging to see their faith blossom. It's a privilege for me. It's just a joy. And together as a couple, we minister to the couples and also single women. As David said, there are several single women that come to church alone, and they need to get that fuel in order to face their situation at home, which often is not easy. So we are extremely thankful for what the Lord has given us to do. And we're thankful for times like this, as I said, which actually recharge us. And I felt quite tired, even though we came from the summer. But after 2.5 weeks here, I feel just recharged. Just by the fellowship, even by rehearsing what God has done for us, which is a good reminder that His faithfulness is going to meet us through the year as we start again a new season of ministry. And for that, I am extremely thankful and, as I say, really privileged to continue to do the work that God has given us to do.
Thank you. So, you know, this is our church planting ministry in a nutshell, but God is the one that brings people. A week ago, we've been in the States now since last 2 weeks ago, Monday. But the Saturday before we left, we had baptisms. And we've had baptism every year. And the couple that I baptized, we baptized them on a lake, are formed by two people that have never been to church before. And we are the first church they've been part of. And the husband was an atheist, and Marco did not believe in God. His wife keeps on telling me that he was a very bad person. And I've never asked the particulars, but he agrees. And in fact, his parents came to the baptism, and the mother said, "We're so happy that Marco has changed because he was a bad person." So maybe he was really a bad person. I don't know. But the interesting thing is that, you know, he was an atheist, and they had two children, two girls, and they have some learning disabilities. So he came to the conclusion that the world was bad and there were bad things in the world. So he started going on the internet and he got convinced that the devil existed and evil existed. But he didn't have a solution for it. And that's what God used to help him understand that there is a God. And he started listening to some messages online, and then he found our church, and they're both, him and his wife, love the Lord and are grateful for our church, and it was all done through really God's guidance, and God continues to do that, you know, a little bit at a time. I was We've been here 2 weeks, and the week before last, I got a message on Facebook saying, David, I need to talk to you, and call me. And it was a guy that I haven't talked to in 15 years. His name is Stefano. I went to junior high with Stefano, so I'm pretty old. It was a long time ago. And he said, I need you to call me. So I was surprised because I haven't talked to him. And his story is that we went to junior high together. I invited him to Bible Club, the church my dad started. And then we went to different high schools. Never heard from him. I came back to go to college and seminary here in the States. And the year before I returned to Italy in 1986, my dad, I don't know if he called me or he wrote me a letter and said, you know who came to church? Stefano came to church and he knows you. And so I had to go, you know, in my memory bank and remember Stefano. Like I said, many years had gone by and he had become an actor in the theater and was pretty popular. I was living with a lady that had two children. And he found himself mixed up in some drugs and things like that. So he went to jail for a few days. And he was sitting on his bed in his cell. And he said, now I have small children. And I have to teach them something about God. And I don't know where to start. And so he remembered, you know, 14 years later, about the church that the kid in junior high had told him about. And so he went to church, and like I said, it was probably in 85 when he started going to a church, and he got saved, his wife got saved, and they became part of our church, and I was one of the elders in that church, and we were friends again, and it was wonderful to see him grow. Then he moved, and since he moved, I had not heard from him. And all of a sudden, I get this message that he wants to talk to me. And so I called him up and from the States. And he said, how are you? And, you know, since we've been friends so many years, he spent 15 minutes making fun of me first. And then all of a sudden, he came to the point and he said, oh, Dave, I want you to know that I changed jobs. And right now, I clean a warehouse for Amazon. So I'm up all night cleaning. And I've been listening to your messages. And I was surprised and encouraged that, you know, these messages that go on the internet that you don't know what happens to them, that people are listening, that you don't even know they're listening to them. And he said, there's a lady that is a friend of mine that lives right in the area of your church. And I've been in contact with her, and she wants to find a church to go to. And so I want to come to church next Sunday, that would have been today, and bring her. I said, well, I'm in the States right now. He said, okay, well, we'll wait for the next Sunday, but I'm going to bring this lady that is not a believer, but she wants, and she's been listening to your messages, and I want her to be able to be acquainted with you. Radon says, oh no, another woman that I have to take care of. But this is what God is doing. And this is where, you know, when Paul prayed and asked the Colossians to pray that God would open doors, that's our job, to ask God to open doors. So as you pray for us, you're praying for things like this to happen, that God would open doors for us to be able to minister to people and to be faithful in ministry. And so that's what we're doing. Our publishing ministry goes on. I write a monthly newspaper every month. And I watched my parents do it for 50 years. And as I watched my parents do it, I always thought, how can you live with that guillotine over your head every month that you have to write a newspaper? Well, I know very well what it means to live under that guillotine, because every month I have to come up with the idea. It's always monothematic, and so I have one subject that I try to write about, and we have hundreds of people all over Italy, even in towns that have no churches, that read it, and we trust that God uses it in their lives. So this, in a nutshell, is our ministry. We ask you to pray for wisdom, for physical strength, for spiritual growth in our lives, and that we would have a healthy marriage, and that God would continue to give us opportunities to minister to others, and that we would be faithful in ministry to those that God places in our lives. So I tried to finish 15 minutes early so that you have time to ask me questions. Anybody have a question? Oh, Daniel.
Can you tell us about some more of the individuals that have responded to your ministry over the past couple of years?
Okay. We have an interesting group. We have one family that, actually we have two families where the wives are American born, but they're married to Italians, so they've been living in Italy. And both of them were acquainted with John MacArthur's ministry. And so they were looking for a church that was similar, and God brought them to a church. But they lived in Italy for a long time, especially their husbands needed to grow and need to grow. And so they're a privilege to have. Right 2 weeks before the pandemic shut us down completely, we were not able even to go out of our houses for 4 months. I mean, we could only go to do essential things. We had to write like a document that explained to them what time we left the house, where we lived, and where were we going. We were only allowed to go to the closest grocery store to our home. And so, you know, that made it very difficult to have relationships with others. But during 2 weeks before the pandemic, we had one couple and two ladies come to our church. And they'd been going to church for a long time, but their church was having a lot of problems. It was falling apart. They're all related. And we're grateful for them. But, you know, even though they've been in church for 40 years, they've never grown. And so the women continue to say, you know, these Bible studies that Loredana does, just bless us. We're learning so much, and they're so grateful. Even the men don't say much. But after the pandemic, another couple that was friends with them, I mean, they're in their 70s, 80s, so they're not real young. They started coming, so they're a blessing. But it's always interesting, like the husband of this other couple that came, the wife came up to me, that was 2 months ago, and she said, Michele is not coming to church anymore. I said, why? What happened? She said, well, he asked you a question, and he didn't like your answer. And I said, okay, I'm trying to remember what the question was. She says, yeah, you know, you came to our home for dinner, and he asked you, how come when Cain killed Abel, that he went away from there, and there were people that were going to kill him? And how could there be other people when Adam and Eve had only two children? You know. And so I tried to give him an answer, and I thought it was a smart answer, but he didn't like it. And so all of a sudden, he decided not to come to church anymore. And then 4 weeks later, he showed up again. And so, I mean, this is the kind of things that we have happened there. They're all people that have their thoughts, their ideas. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have. But we had a couple come, and we spent a lot of time with them. We were really hoping that they would be in the church. And he had been saved only a few years. His wife supposedly had gotten saved. And we helped in their marriage, and then all of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, they went on vacation to Wales in Great Britain because she's from there. And while they were there, she said, "I'm not going back." And so he called me up and said, "Dave, we're not coming back. I have to save my marriage." And so we lost two people, you know, that way. So our church is a little bit of a roller coaster that way. And I've been sending him messages and trying to encourage him to protect his marriage and work with his wife. And we don't know if she's truly a believer, but we have spent a lot of times counseling them and helping them. And if that was only for a season of their life, we're okay with that. And so this is, you know, I always say we have a church, but, you know, things could change overnight. The couple, one of the couples that we have, they have four children. She's American, and he's Italian. He's a pilot, and he lost his job because of the pandemic. And so now he got a job here in the States, and they're not sure that he can work from Italy and work for a cargo company here. And he has an interview with UPS. He had it last week, and he's going to have a second interview this next week. And it could be that, you know, when I get back, he says, "Hey, I got a job with UPS, and we have to move back to the States." So when we look at our little congregation, we're saying, you know, what are you going to do? We have some people that, you know, we have one man that travels 2.5 hours to come to our church. And it was interesting. The first time that he came to our church, he walked in, sat there. So I went to meet him after the service and tried to find out who he was. And he said, I used to be in the Pentecostal church, in a charismatic church. And I started listening to the conference that John MacArthur had, Strange Fire, online. And that changed my view. And so I've decided to leave that. And so I said, "Oh, you did? So did you listen to it in English?" He said, "No, I don't speak English." I said, "So you listened to it in Italian?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, the person that translated the whole conference was me." And he goes, "Oh, now I know. I sat there through your preaching, and I couldn't figure out where I'd heard your voice before." And so, I mean, these are the kind of things that God has done and is doing. And we have one young man. The first time I met him, he's still in high school, and he was totally atheist. He'd like to come to the Bible study, but he was more to hear his voice say things. And now he's changed. I think God is working in his life. And I meet with him regularly via Zoom during the week. And God has changed his life. So these are some of the stories that God is changing lives as we minister there. You had a question?
I'm just curious if the Catholic Church is more of an iconic part of history, or if it's still a very present stumbling block.
Yeah, the Catholic Church is very present in Italy. It's part of life. People don't believe. You know, they don't follow. They're not practicing Catholics, the majority of people. They might go once or twice a year. They don't even go every Sunday. There's a few that go, but not many. So their attachment to the church is more by tradition. The Catholic Church has changed. Most people are not afraid to die. They're not afraid to go to hell because they hardly believe that anyone goes to hell. Catholic Church doesn't teach that people go to hell. Even purgatory is not that important, that prominent in the way they talk. So we live in a very modern society that doesn't really care about religion. But because they're not fearful of dying, apart from the fact that they don't like the idea of dying. So a lot of people during the pandemic have been afraid of dying, but not because they're afraid to go to hell. They just don't want to die. It's we're not really having to you know, fight the Catholic Church or, you know, give, we don't get people that are have strong ideas that they want to stick to. We have some. We have one lady, Consuelo, that comes to our church. She's been a believer for 17 or more years. And she, her husband is very Catholic. And it's interesting that he'll bring her to church. And then as soon as church starts, he leaves and he knows when to come back. We've become friends. So he'll come in and talk to me. We've had dinner together. We have a ministry to the couples and in our home. Once a month, we have a Bible study on marriage, and I teach for an hour and a half, and then we have a sit-down dinner. And since the pandemic, we haven't been able to do it because the regulations say that you can't have more than four people in your home, and the problem is that neighbors would see it, and they could call the police. So we, but I think we could start them again. But anyway, Hilario has been to all our Bible studies on marriage in our home, but he will not listen to me preaching. And even he came to the baptisms, and when I started preaching, he walked away. So you know, we have to deal with that too. And it's interesting. God has used, and we're sad that we weren't able to do for the last year, the couples meetings, because God has used it. We have all the unsaved husbands come to the couples meetings. They like the idea that I teach about submission, and maybe their wives are going to improve. But we have one couple that comes. They're both unsaved. It's a couple that we met when I was in the hospital. His dad was in the same room with me in the hospital. And he asked me to help him buy a car since I have a friend that's a dealer. And so I took him to the dealership just 3 weeks ago. And we sat down with the owner of the dealership. And within 5 minutes, and I said, well, he wants to buy a car, you know, just to do your thing. And I'm listening. Within 5 minutes, the guy's talking about my ministry to the couples, to this guy. And he's saying, you know, Dave does this ministry for the couples. It's incredible. And it's from the Bible, but it's great. It helps our marriage. And he says, you should come. And so he's the one that invited this other guy. And the guy said that he's going to come to the next one. So we'll see if it's true. But, you know, God uses a lot of ways to touch lives. So that's our situation. And that guy would consider himself Catholic, but I don't think he's been in church unless it was for a wedding or a funeral or a baptism for a long time. Anybody else have questions?
Other men or missionaries in the country to encourage you or assist you?
Now, since last year in July, my son Jordan, he had been a pastor in Washington, D.C. for 6 years. He came to Italy as a missionary. So today he's preaching for me. His goal is to do a church plant in another area of Rome. But it is wonderful to have them, him and his wife and four grandchildren there, so we get to see some of our grandchildren. And he is an encouragement. We can bounce off thoughts. I have another pastor that I was part of his mentoring when he got saved. And I meet with him regularly via Zoom. He's in Sicily. It's part of two churches that I used to help going there. Now, you know, we've been able to travel between regions. So I meet with him every 2 weeks via Zoom. And there's another man that used to be an elder in the Milano area. And us three talk together and pray every 2 weeks. So I do have some encouragement. And then Ron calls me every week and checks on me and gets me straight, straightens me out all the time. So I have that help and encouragement. My sermons are all online, both on the website of our church and also on Facebook. During the pandemic, since we were shut into home, I did a 5-minute little message every day. And God used it, I had phone calls from people I never met before that said that they were encouraged and helped and during that time. It didn't bring anybody to our church, so I don't have anybody in our church that came because of that, but once the word of God goes out, we just trust God to touch lives. Like I said, all our messages are online, and I find out, more and more that some people are listening to them regularly, and we trust that God uses them in their lives. Anybody else? Everybody's looking at their watch. They know it's supposed to end at 10:30. Oh, okay.
Where is the church located in Italy?
In Rome. It's in the northern part of Rome. It's at the center of Italy, and we're on the north side of Rome. And we also have a lady from Ghana. I've already talked to you about it. And so we're grateful for her. So it's in the northern part of the city of Rome. And there's no evangelical churches in that area. Not even the majority of evangelical churches in Italy are charismatic or Pentecostal. But we don't even have Pentecostal or charismatic churches. Listen, the city of Rome has 5 million people. And they have, different areas where people live. And they don't move out of their area very much. Italians pretty much grow up in a certain area. And they find a job. They don't change jobs. They stick to an area. So when you go to a certain area of town, you're dealing with people that live there, and they don't move too much to other areas. So we trust in, and we ask God to give us opportunities for people to find out that we exist. Being in a hotel makes it a little bit more difficult. So Facebook and Instagram or some other ways. Right now we've been able to start passing out tracts. People didn't even want to have a piece of paper that anybody else had touched during the pandemic. But now some of the people in our church go out and put them in mailboxes, and we trust that God will allow people to find out that we exist.
The population of Rome is 5 million. What's the population of the total country of Italy? And then is there any kind of, here in the States, there's polling companies, organizations that say how many percent of your people are evangelical or whatever.
Okay. We have 60 million people in Italy. Okay. And they say that less than half of 1% is Protestant. So half of 1% is Protestant. The Protestant church is very liberal, and the charismatic and Pentecostal would be the largest group of that. So evangelicals like us would be very minimal in the country. They say that there's 30,000 cities and towns in Italy with no kind of gospel witness. There's no Christian and no church of any kind. 30,000.
Thank you, Dominique. I think the one encouraging thing
is that he's an example of generational missionaries. You see this very, very rarely in any field. So many missionaries everywhere. A lot of countries are hard, but they burn out really fast in Italy. It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place to visit, with the art, the music, the food, the literature, all of that. But it's very dark. And the people can be pretty rough on anybody coming over with a true Christian testimony. But his father, he's second generation. He's got a son there, he mentioned. He'll be the third generation. And he's there with his grandchildren. Maybe if the Lord doesn't return, one of those young lads will be a missionary there also. But it's a real commitment. It's not easy anywhere, but particularly there, because you expect it to be. So we're thankful for your ministry there. And if the Lord doesn't return, there's still a harvest of souls that will come from that area of the world. As we know, as we read our Bible, the book of Romans, a lot of it centers around activities. in Rome. That's part of the ancient history that we do have available to us, to God's Word. So let's thank the Lord and prepare ourselves for the morning worship service. Lord, we do thank you for the way that you work in the hearts and lives of people. Father, sometimes in the most simple of ways, in fact, most of the times in the most simplistic of ways. For we know that your word is what is powerful, not ours. And Father, as we worship together this morning, may we recognize, Lord, your sovereignty, your majesty, and the fact that we can do nothing apart from you. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon each family here this morning. We ask your blessing upon Davide, Gloria Donna, and all those other faithful missionaries that are in Italy. As we concentrate our thinking upon this country and their role, Father, in prophecy, Lord, we just are grateful that we can have this fellowship of like-mindedness, and ask, Lord, that you will bless us with the hearing of your word this morning, that we'll truly be able to impart and imbibe it and become part of our lives and our walk even this week. For we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.